Lake Effect continues on WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Tomorrow through Sunday, UWM's dance department presents its annual Winter Dances, an event that showcases the work of faculty and students. This year, there is also a guest choreographer. Southern California hip-hop choreographer D. Sabella Grimes is on the faculty at USC and is a Rockefeller Fellow.
He's been working with dance students here to create a hip-hop piece about Sherman Park. It's called Bubbling Utterances, and if Sherman Park is where black and white coexist in Milwaukee, D. Sabella Grimes explains that this performance is where historically black and white dance forms intersect.
Yeah, I don't know if I think about bringing dance, but definitely an approach to dance and dance making, and dance making being the living practice of what it means to do hip-hop dance. So primarily, I say that I draw from a very vital source, which is black social and black vernacular dance practices, which, you know, for the most part is still informing whether people call it hip-hop or not. Some people call what's happening right now lit dances. But there is a living, vibrant, creative practice, a very living and vibrant systems of intelligence, corporeal intelligence, embodied intelligence that happen in these dance practices. And that's the wellspring that I draw from in creating hip-hop dance.
How does that differ from the more quote-unquote traditional dance forms and practices and sort of vocabulary, that body vocabulary that a lot of Western dance draws from?
Well, I would say that this recenters a different sort of voice, which I really love about hip hop. And I love this about hip hop internationally, is there is an idea of dance that lives in a very white and Western sort of point of view. And there are just a lot of choreographers and artists like myself that are bringing other sort of voices to the center and just committed to that. And for me, it's also a research practice. You know, one of the ethos of hip hop is knowledge of self. And so how do I learn about myself? And who am I? You know, who am I unfolding into being right now? And dance is a great way to articulate my immaterial and material identities.
One of the things I love about watching hip hop informed dance is that it is so wonderfully physical and that everybody gets to participate in that in some way. One of my complaints about the white standard dance is that men get to be athletic and physical, but women don't. They get to be beautiful and ethereal. And men don't get to be beautiful and ethereal, and women don't get, you know, and it's like I've always had trouble with that. And one of the things I love about watching what you do and what choreographers who are drawing from that well that you are drawing from do is that everyone has this wonderful physicality and that they can express themselves through it.
Yeah, there is such layered ideas of physicality that happen in hip-hop dance and so much nuance at the same time, which is what I love to focus on when I create concert dance, as they call it, because most of the time I'll run into people and they're like looking for the blow-up moves, the head spin, the whatever sort of big quote-unquote virtuosic move. And yet, you know, being a practitioner, being someone that does this, it's really nice to really kind of bring out the nuance and stretch it a little bit and expand it and, you know, really look at the different shades, colors, and textures of what's happening in hip-hop dance. And what's really nice about working with artists, performers, dancers that aren't necessarily literate in the vocabulary.
Your vocabulary.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, in these sort of forms, is that what's hip-hop, you know, and those are finger quotes that I just did in the studio, finger quotes, what's hip-hop about it is the approach and the methodology. What's really important about that is at the core of hip-hop to me is hip-hop dance and hip-hop actually creative practices is improvisation. When I talk about knowledge of self, is understanding your body and how it flows through the worlds, yeah, and how your body is perceived, yeah, in a variety of different spaces. There's a certain consciousness that comes with hip-hop. And this goes to if a graffiti artist. So for my last project, I worked with this guy, Pose 2, a.k.a. Max Moses. And we just talk about the physicality of graffiti. So someone that used to ride on trains and would always have this sort of, like, he's developed this sort of sensitivity to sensiness where he's, I just made that word up, sensiness. And, well, you know, if you're painting on a train and you're looking over your shoulder and you're in between trains, there's something that's very physical about that.
Oh, so immediate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so there's so many different aspects of hip hop culture, even the art and the craft of being an MC. And it's the same thing in dance. And they all draw from each other.
This comes from Black culture, Black American culture particularly. And there are a lot of white people who have taken this on. Do you celebrate that? Do you celebrate that people are, you know, embracing this who are not part of the culture originally? Or does it feel like they're trying to appropriate it?
I think for real hip-hop practitioners, people that live this culture, that's not even a conversation. There might be a moment in time that people get checked. And that's one thing I love about hip-hop, too. It's very Afro-diasporic. So one of the creation stories about hip-hop, of course, is located in New York. And in New York, you're talking about when we say Latino, we're saying it in a different way than where I come from in California, right? So there's different communities. So the Puerto Rican community, Dominican community, the other Caribbean, you know, sort of conversations, this cross-pollination of ideas that would be part of the African diaspora, right? And so when I say Black, I'm talking about consciousness. I'm also talking about modalities. So there's people now all over the world that travel, and there are these sort of modes of discourse that we would consider like African aesthetics or African-American or Afro-diasporic modes of discourse that people are participating in, and you don't necessarily have the complexion.
And it's not even so much a complexion. I was thinking more of it as a cultural thing where the idea of, okay, let's use jazz as an example. And it was an African-American art form. It came out of that. It was that expression. But the culture in the United States, it wasn't until white people started playing it in some way, shape, or form, and of course it morphed and changed, that it became more acceptable, if that's the right word even, and that people who weren't part of the original conversation found a way into it. And so that's where my question was coming from. Not so much the color of the skin, but the culture that those modalities come from.
I would have to say that people that are steeped in the practice of hip-hop globally, they're a part of the culture. And beyond that, there is, you know, there's always going to be very inclusive sort of environments, you know, types of understanding that will come from experience that are just rooted in the Black experience in this country. And no matter how, what the commerce of jazz, for example, is, that's always going to be relevant. It's always going to be present, no matter how we begin to kind of distort the perception of where jazz comes from, right? There's always going to be that DNA that then gets passed on to hip-hop. There's such a direct link, and it doesn't happen in the way that when you're trying to sell a record. So oftentimes we'll talk about, oh, the success of hip-hop, hip-hop's being taken over by X group. But in the cultural practice and the everyday vernacular spaces, you know, it's still – there's people that aren't steeped in the culture, and they'll try it on, and they'll leave or – they'll figure out a way to make a quick buck on it. Dance is a little tricky, right? Because there isn't a product. It's so ephemeral. So people that are in hip-hop dance communities, street dance communities, their commitment with their bodies in particular is different to me. It's different than, oh, I'm going to, you know, emulate or mimic or copy the sound of this rapper or this producer, and then I'm going to make some money because I've kind of figured out a formula to, you know.
It appeals to a bigger audience or something.
Yeah, and there's streams, you know, there's appropriation streams that will lead you, you know, I guess people will lead them to a payday. But people discard it. So here we are, you know, 40, 50 years later with hip hop dance, and there's people globally that are still immersed in the culture, like literally in their 50s, still dancing. And that's not appropriation.
It's cool that people that age are still doing it and finding ways to express themselves. But you're here working with a younger group of people.
I am.
How is it for you as a choreographer and somebody who lives and breathes this culture, working with students who may not?
Well, this generation of student I'm working with, they can't like get away from it. Now, their level of cultural literacy, their level of understanding it through practice, through training, not necessarily just studio training, because there are a couple dancers that have community training, so they kind of grew up, they're Black, so they have a certain sort of access to some of these ideas and these modalities, and not necessarily the moves. I think a lot of people will get lost in, oh, I can figure out the shape of this dance, I can now do this dance. And dance is loaded and coded. Black dance in particular is loaded and coded, and every move has meaning. And it's not always explicit in what it means, but there's an understanding to just how a movement idea, a word, a phrase is presented in the context that if you're around it, you get it. A simple move like just the movement of the head, just bobbing forward and backward or up and down like a yes. You might see that in church. You might see that there's a variety of contexts that the learning happens, that this move right here has value. And not only does it have value, but this move right here can flow in a variety of different contexts and it can reshape its meaning. And so there's that like level of like understanding, right? And with the students at the university, for me, it's an opportunity to have a community building process, moment to moment, to come in and get an idea of Milwaukee through my experience with them in the studio and not always on the dance floor, on the side, talking and clowning and laughing. And I teach a movement system that I created called Funkamental Metakinetics. And it's really about the spiritual efficacy of Black dance practices. And at the core of it is community building. Like one of the greatest things that I love about hip-hop dance is that sense of community built around the dialogue that happens in the cipher. That's a multi-layered sort of experience. And so I can come in and have that, and I can, if it's each one teach one is the ethos, we can meet where we are. So if all of the dancers aren't necessarily trained in these hip-hop forms, I can take these modalities of making, of creating, and have a conversation with them. And this is what this piece is about. This bubbling utterance is about building community. Like this is the immaterial sort of like the back story to the piece is how do I come in and have a conversation with some amazing artists and create a space or facilitate a moment to the next moment where I can get a little glimpse of who they are and their ways of being in the world and then sculpt that into a quote-unquote dance.
So it is improvisatory in that way, using those fundamentals that you've created. So you've got this structure that supports that improv.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it is.
Are you having fun with them?
I'm having a ball. Yesterday, I must have screamed about. I'm a little special when I'm like in the process, but it's so much about people's voices, and there is a generation now that are learning hip hop, and their first experience with hip hop dance is in a dance studio. And hip-hop dance isn't necessarily a studio practice. It's still vernacular. It's still street. It's still neighborhood. It's still Auntie Junie and them having a barbecue, and it's going to happen, right? It doesn't need to be on the agenda. It's going to happen. Or community center or park, or it depends on where you travel in this country, where these dance practices happen. But the street is still the locus. And so when I work with people that come to the language a little bit differently, it's pretty fascinating. And so one thing that I've learned in my travels is that oftentimes in their studio practice, they're not allowed, or maybe it's not as valued to have their voice. They become part of this sort of ensemble. And there's something, I think, valuable in that. But one thing about street dance is the question is always, who are you? And it's not a static question. It's like, okay, I see you representing right now. And then the next round, the next time, who are you? I want to hear your voice. I want to see you. I want to hear you. I want to feel you. And this is what's nice about creating this sort of improvisational structure, is for them to have a moment to go, this is what I sound like. This is what I look like. This is what I feel like. Yo, you feel me? You feel me? You feel me? And they continue just to every time they're there, even when they're still and supporting. There's a strong part of this piece in particular that's about witnessing. How do you just take people in? How is that part of the conversation? You know, intentive, active listening, not passive, like taking it in. And I think this is what I mean when I'm bringing these modalities of hip hop. Hip hop isn't passive.
And this, I would imagine, feeds back into your own practice as a choreographer.
For sure.
And as a dancer.
Yes. Yes.
So it's a continuous sort of circle and feeding.
Oh, yes. This isn't the sort of situation. And it's funny because I talk to people and there's an idea that when an artist like myself travels, oh, I'm going to Milwaukee. Oh, you're going to, there's this language in dance. Are you going to put a piece on them? No. We're going to have a conversation. I'm going to grow. I'm going to facilitate an experience that is going to create openings for me to learn something. And that's certainly happening here.
Well, I am so looking forward to seeing your piece and to seeing all of the winter dances. I think it's going to be really fantastic. And I cannot thank you enough for coming in on a snowy morning to
thank
talk
so
with
much.
Us. DeSabella Grimes, thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
DeSabella Grimes is a Southern California-based choreographer and dance teacher. His meditation on Sherman Park, Bubbling Utterances, was created for this year's Winter Dances, an annual series of performances presented by UWM's Dance Department.
The performances are in the Kenilworth Building on Milwaukee's East Side tomorrow through Sunday. There's more information at WUWM.com.